You're listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 32.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Angela Laria. Angela has been helping to birth dozens of books since 1994. She started the Author Incubator in 2010 because she loves coaching and loves books. If you feel called to write a book or need help publishing a book you have written, she likes to help you make the difference you were born to make. She earned a bachelor's and master's in journalism from the George Washington University, and in 2006, she received a PhD in communications from the European Graduate School. In 2010, she was certified a publishing coach from the International Institute of Coaching Studies, and she was a certified life coach for the Martha Beck Life Coaching Program in 2013. Welcome, Angela, to Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to talk about the Author Incubator and everything. So tell me your personal journey. How did you come down the path to create the Author Incubator?
I always worked in books. My very first job, it was still spring break of my senior year of college, and I got a job working for this amazing New York Times bestselling author. I was doing research, I was doing editing, and it was super exciting, and I loved books. And so I've always content in various forms, blogs and social media, and writing white papers and writing academic papers. I actually have a PhD in philosophy, so I have a philosophy book that I've written. But it was always a big part of my life. But like a good girl, after I finished school, I got a really nice corporate job, and I was a marketing manager and then a director of marketing, and then I was a VP of marketing, and then I was a chief marketing officer, and I got fired, horribly, horribly fired, standing in line at Disney World on New Year's Day. Oh. And the way that I got fired was my boss said to me, "I have good news." And I'm like, "Fantastic. I love good news." And he's like, "We are closing the marketing department, but we have found a way to keep you on as a consultant for 30 days.
Oh, jeez.
So does not feel like good news. And I just went into a total panic. I was a single mom. I had just gotten divorced. It was a super, super ugly divorce. And I was the sole financial provider. I ended up with the whole house. So I had twice the expenses and half the income. And now about to be in 30 days, none of the income. And I just made this vow to myself, I would never be in a position where I would get fired again. I was like, I can't ever get fired again. I don't know why that was the thought, but that was the thought. I'm like, I have to find a job where I can't ever get fired again. Like, it can't be somebody else's decision to close the marketing department. And I got this book, and the book is called Finding Your Own North Star. It's by a woman named Martha Beck. And in the book, she asks this question, which is, what do you lose track of time doing? And I had no idea what I lost track of time doing. So I bought another book, and then I bought another book, and then I bought another book. And I was totally losing track of time reading all these books on how to find a job where I could never get fired. And that's when it sort of hit me. It actually took about 2 years to answer the question, what do you lose track of time doing? And like, clearly the answer is reading self-help books, because that seems to be all I do. And that didn't seem like it could be a business, reading self-help books. But lo and behold, I did a workshop, and in the workshop kind of figured out, it was the way I describe it, it was like my business plan was downloaded to me from the universe. No idea where it came from, but it was just like in a matter of 30 seconds, my whole business plan came flooding into my head. And that was, when I got the business plan was 4 years ago, and it's been an amazing ride. I've worked with about 200 life coaches and healing practitioners writing their books. We've published about 50 of them. I will publish my 50th book next week. And all of the books we've published this year are bestsellers, which is really super exciting. And we're changing the world one book at a time, which is like my total dream and something I never thought I could be a part of. I like feel like it's a fairy tale.
That's fantastic. And congratulations on your 50th book. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited.
That's beautiful. And it's so great when you're living your dream, right? You're living the passion. It's an amazing feeling.
Totally. And I really didn't think I could do what I was passionate about and make money. And you totally can't. Like, I had to learn a lot more than I expected, because I already had a background in marketing, so I thought it'd be easy. It definitely wasn't easy, but I'm making money and I'm changing the world, and it never feels like work. Well, very rarely. It feels like work when I have to do things like taxes or accounting, but generally does not even feel like work.
Oh. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the different clients that you have. So who's the ideal client, and how are you marketing your business to them?
Okay, so my ideal client is a life coach or a healing practitioner, a solo entrepreneur who has a message that will has the ability to make a positive difference in the world. And generally, they have in some way felt called to write a book. Sometimes people tell me that people have always told them, like since I was 8 years old, people told me I should write a book. Sometimes they've known in their heart they were supposed to write a book. Sometimes they've gotten actually like messages from the universe in dreams or in other ways. So they feel really called, but they don't necessarily have all the organizational skills to do it. And they also don't have an interest in becoming an expert in publishing. Like, they could hire an editor, and they could figure out how to get a cover design done, and they could figure out how to buy ISBN codes, and they could learn about self-publishing, but they really would rather practice EFT, or they would rather use law of attraction to help their clients attract money, or they would rather help their clients lose weight by loving themselves and their body. And so they focus on that, and we do all the technical stuff as well as, you know, help coach them on overcoming the obstacles that do get in the way of a big project like writing a book.
Fantastic.
Obviously. And then you said, how do we market, or how do we reach people? And really, I would say social media is my number one method. And I don't know how much we want to get into this, but I'll just talk really quickly about my business. And then if you want to dig in.
Sure.
I offer free monthly webinars. Like this month, I'm offering a webinar on how to overcome the obstacle of time when you're writing your book. How do you find the time to write your book? So I write on different topics. It could be how to title a book or a blog post. Whatever different topics are related, I offer them for free. I tell people in social media through groups on LinkedIn and Facebook. And then those people that attend my webinars go on to my email list. And then through my email list, I talk about my main program, which is finishyourfirstbook.com. program called Your Delicious Book, and on finishyourfirstbook.com is where I describe the program and offer people a free 30-minute strategy session with me to get on the phone and see if they are a fit. And then if they're fit, we sign them up, and I do that like 4 times a year. I do 4 quarterly programs where people write their book with me.
Fantastic. So you're finding the webinars is the way that you're bringing them in initially.
Yep. So I do the webinars, then I put them on my list, and then they usually buy from my list. And I will say, I think this might be helpful to people. Almost everybody who buys from me says something like this. Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk to you. I've been stalking you for like 2 years, waiting till the time was right. So I don't always know who's stalking me, but I find that people get on my list and I write valuable content, and I just try and serve everyone who I come into contact any way I can. And I know that if I'm growing my funnel from the top, if I'm adding people into the top of my list, and I'm serving and providing excellent service. My clients, I have a lot of repeat clients. I have a lot of referral business. About half my business is referral business. My goal is to get it to 100% referral. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just about providing high-value content for free and letting people know their options to work with me when they feel like the time is right.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's the value of the content is always the key, for sure.
And I think there's one other thing. I do provide very high value content. I try and make sure I'm offering something that I would pay for in my emails. But more than that, I try and connect with people, and I'm just really honest. Like, if you were on my list, girl, you know things about me. I share about my real experiences, my clients' real experiences, hopefully in a way that helps my clients. And not in a way that's self-indulgent, but the people on my list, I think, feel like they know me, feel connected. Because when people talk to me, it's like we're friends. And I'm like, oh, I don't know you, but you know a lot about me. So I just try and show up as big as I can.
That's great. I always say when we bear a little bit of our soul to them, and then that's when you make the connection.
Yeah, like I'll give you an example. I was teaching a class on how to get reviews for your book. And I'm teaching this class, and as I'm teaching it, I am telling people that, look, a certain number of people are not going to reply to your emails. Like, you're going to send out 10 emails, you're going to send out 20 emails, maybe only 3 people write back. You can follow up, but, you know, just know that, like, that's a no. Like, some people will tell you, keep going until you get a yes or a no, and persistence pays. And I'm like, I think that's, you know, sometimes the case, but sometimes not. And as I'm talking, I wanted to use an example of, like, a time that I had sent an email people didn't reply to, and kind of the emotional journey that took me on. And instead, the example I used, which snuck up on me, was that there was an email in my inbox of somebody who had emailed me, somebody I really liked, who had actually asked me to be an affiliate of their program. Hmm. And I hadn't replied. I'm like, she wrote to me 3 days ago. My answer is no, but I don't want to say that. So I am just not replying to her. And then I realized, like, so much of getting reviews or getting people to do anything for you is, like, your own integrity. And I was like, so before you send out any requests for reviews, reply to anyone who's asked you for something. Because if you are not in integrity, the universe will pick up on that vibe. And I immediately wrote back to this woman, who I think is fantastic. And I'm like, I can't be an affiliate. Here's why. But I'd love to share it on social media. Like, I don't want any compensation. But when you post it on social media, I will share it with my endorsement. I think you're great. And so, like, that was a moment where in that teaching call, I was super vulnerable, and I realized I just caught myself in my own crap. I was like, oh, wow, if I want to be in integrity and I'm asking people for reviews, I got to be replying to people if I want people to reply to me.
Yep, sending the energy back and forth, sending it, receiving it.
Yep, and if I'm sending, I don't want to respond because I don't want to say no, then I'm just not going to, because I would rather get a no than no reply. I hate no reply. Everybody hates no reply. Just reply. Anybody who's listening to this podcast, if there is a request in your email, go reply to it right now. That is going to buy you some positive universe points that will come flying back your way. You can say no. Tell them they're awesome. Can't do it. Hit me up again.
That's fantastic. That's a, like, and it's so funny. And I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm like, I think I have an unanswered email in there.
Right? I know. And then you're going to bitch later about the fact that, you know, you sent 10 emails asking for people to be on your podcast and they didn't reply. Right? And you're like, why do people not reply? Oh, because I don't. Oh, okay.
I love it. That is so funny. So as you're bringing in these leads and from your webinars and other ways that you're bringing them in, how are you monitoring your conversion rates? Is there software that you're using that helps you keep yourself organized so that you know what leads to turn into clients?
I do know that. I know how to do that. So I use Google Analytics and I know how many people I'm adding to my list each week. But because I have such a long lead time and because I have a high ticket item, I have a very like luxury purchase. It's a high ticket item. So I don't need that many customers. So if I was doing a $97 item, I would definitely be tracking it more closely. But you know, my products are $10,000. So I sign up, you know, 40 to 50 clients a year, and they're people who have been following me for a long time and who know me, like me, and trust me. So really the stats I'm looking at more are likes and shares on Facebook.
Gotcha.
And new leads coming into the top of my funnel. And it's not really a hope and pray strategy, but the conversion number that I look at is, how many people do I talk to? Because if you're spending $10,000, like, I don't recommend just dropping a credit card on a website for that. I know there are products out there that do that, but that's not how I work with people. I want to talk to them. It's a relationship I'm in with them, and it's a commitment I'm making to them, and I don't want to make a commitment to somebody I can't really help. So really, I want to talk to them and see if they're a fit. So what I try and do is I try to do somewhere on the order of 10 calls a week. And I have about a 30% conversion ratio from that. So I don't really need to use, like, you know, Google Analytics with a conversion pixel because, you know, I'm getting on the phone with people and I can count. So I did, you know, like this week I've done 7 calls. I've gotten 2 sales and I have 1 more call scheduled. So I'll do 8 calls this week. Maybe I'll make 2 to 3 sales. That's a good week for me.
That's fantastic. And, you know, that's a really good point. When it is a high ticket item, the marketing and the strategy for bringing people in is entirely different.
And I've done lower ticket items, and I've used a conversion pixel in Google, and I'm looking at how many people come to my page and how many bail. And if I add a video on the page, does it make people stay longer? Are they more likely to convert? Sometimes I'll A-B test that. But what I found with my low ticket items is that I was attracting people who wanted to tell people they were writing a book. Mm. They wanted to think about writing a book. And that's fine. Some people sell to those people and they're perfectly happy. For me, I want to sell to people who are going to finish a book and make it a bestseller and change the world with it. Those are the people I want to attract. And upping my price from $497 to $10,000 did that. I needed a lot fewer clients. It was a lot less work. And I was getting the people I actually wanted to work with. So that was strategy over tactics. And by the way, how I did that and how I kind of figured that out was by working with a coach. So if I want someone to hire me for $10,000, I better be willing to drop $10,000 on a coach who's going to get me even further ahead of my clients.
Such fantastic advice. Sometimes it takes the outside eyes to look in, but then also the really defining who your client was, right? You got in it and you're like, okay, let's redefine who I want to work with. And if they have it's the right amount of commitment from them with that dollar amount, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I had a shame problem. I had amazing testimonials. So my first block in business was getting testimonials. I had clients. Like some of them were free or cheap or, you know, maybe I sold a $500 product, but I'd give them $450 off or, you know, like, but they loved me. But I couldn't figure out how to get testimonials. That was probably my first, I don't know, 6 months to a year in business. It was such a block I would have to like take to my bed. I would spend days in bed. I'm like, I can't market my next thing till I get testimonials. And I don't know why. It was like this huge block. And then I got these amazing, beautiful testimonials. I worked with a coach. I hired a coach. And I was like, here's my problem. I don't know how to get testimonials. And the solution was so easy. which I'll give a little tip in case people are interested. After people worked with me, I just sent them a survey on SurveyMonkey.
There you go.
And there, I asked for a testimonial and said, "Can I use?" I said, "Here was the question I asked: if one of your friends was interested in this program, what would you tell them about it?" And then they would write something. And then my next question was, "Can I use that as a testimonial?" I mean, it was like not hard. I don't know what my block was. It obviously had more to do with my mindset than that task, which took all of 5 minutes. But then I had these testimonials, and then I had huge shame because all the other book coaches had their testimonials with their clients holding their book, and my clients hadn't finished books. So they're like, "Angela is the best book coach in the world." And then I'm like, somebody's going to call them, and they're going to say, "Where's your book?" And my people who wrote testimonials are going to say, "Oh, I didn't write a book, but she's great." And so my next block was really, I didn't know this. I had to kind of work with a coach to identify the block, but it was really identifying what is it that I like most about what I do. And it was my clients who finished. And at the time it was like 10-15% of my clients were finishing their book.
Wow.
And so I had to really figure out, how do I get these people to finish? And when I realized the answer was charge them a whole lot of money, then I was like, "How are you going to ask people for $10,000? Are you kidding me?" And then I found a coach to help me with that.
It's all in realizing what we're worth too, right? People have such a block with saying, "I am worth this," and value me at that. And that money block is so common. It's such a common thread.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's like, what's weird is I would totally in a hot second do this job for free. I really would. I really love it. I would totally live in a van down by the river and do this for free. But I am not serving people. I'm not serving people when I charge them $500 because they've taken a book class.
Right.
That's all they've done. They don't have anything. They have a to-do list. Fantastic. I paid $500 and I have a to-do list. It's fantastic. Like, but that to me wasn't service. And so I serve people by charging them $10,000. That's the way I serve. And so part of it was, yeah, my value, am I worth $10,000? But I'm not really teaching anything different. Like, my value is that I'm willing to ask for $10,000 because I know that's what's going to make them finish.
That's a fantastic way to look at it. I love that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Credit to Kevin Nations on that one. I have an amazing coach, mentor, spiritual advisor. He's fantastic.
We all need them for sure. So what works for you in social media, and like how much of your advertising and marketing budget do you put towards social media?
I probably spend $200 to $500 a month on social media advertising. So, you know, not a ton. I'm extremely active, 10 to 15 posts a day. I use my business page for purely business, but most of my leads and clients come through my personal page. Very, very, very rarely do I sell in social media. I'm giving people access to free webinars. I'm giving people access to my blog posts. I do a radio show every Thursday at 3 p.m., and so I'm always sharing about that. But I'm also sharing, you know, pictures of my kids and trips to the passport office and the things that are going on in my life so people know me as a person. People have to know me, like me, and trust me to share their book journey with me is what it comes down to. It's a very personal journey. And there is a lot. I am a certified Martha Beck life coach, and there is a lot of coaching that goes along with the number one obstacle that I deal with my customers, which is, who am I to write this book?
Excellent. I'm going to talk a little bit about your book process, and I love how you say that you're using the book to build a business and make a difference in everything. So let's talk about how you walk your clients through their process.
Yeah, well, so the first thing we start with is really, do you want to write a book, or do you want to write a book that makes a difference? Because I can help people with both, and I do have 10 to 20% of my clients are people that just want to write a book. They want to give it to their daughter or their husband or their mother, and they want to have that checked on their resume and then move on with their life. And they're great, and I'm happy to help them do that. But my real focus is on writing books that make a difference. And that means it gets out in the world, into people's hands, and you can offer them follow-on support. So you know, I talked at the beginning of this show, I talked about how, for me, that book by Martha Beck, Finding Your Own North Star, was a huge turning point, mostly because that one question, what do you lose track of time doing? And I have gone on to take many classes with her. I've gone on to be a certified coach. I worked in a 9-month training program with her. And so you really have to offer, if you want to make a difference with your book, you have to offer them a way to continue with you. That book for me, that $20 investment and whatever, a couple hours of my time, was just a jumping off point. It was a way that I met Martha and I got to know her approach and saw if it was a fit for me. The book was $20. She's probably made $15,000 to $20,000 off of me. I read that book in February of 2007. So in 7 years, I've spent $15,000 with her, at least, I'm guessing. So did she make $20 off the book or did she make $15,000?
Right.
Because if you're looking at your book as a way to make, and by the way, she didn't make $20. She probably made $1 because with a publishing contract, very often the publisher takes 93% of your revenue.
That's a crazy amount. I know.
Yeah. So she made $1 for me and then $15,000. So if you look at your book as like, oh, I'm going to spend $10,000 with Angela. How the heck, I'm going to have to sell 10,000 books. Wow. How am I going to do that? And how much money do I have to spend to make $10,000? Oh, I'm going to have to spend another $20,000 marketing this book. Now I have to sell 30,000 books. How the hell am I going to do that? Like, that's overwhelming. But if you think about it like, oh, if I sell 1,000 books and let's say I make $1,000, and of those 1,000 people, 100 of them spend another $1,000 with me. Well, now you've made $11,000 off your book. So if you look at your book as a way to make a difference, then there's a huge business opportunity there. And that's really the first principle of the program. And then I have a process I take people through. It's called the difference process. So there are 10 steps to writing a book that makes a difference. One of those steps is writing your book. One of those steps is publishing your book. For most people, they think those are the only two steps in writing a book. The other 8 steps, I would say, are equally important. And so writing your book is about 10% of the journey, publishing it, maybe 10%. And there's 80% of the journey left where we really talk about who are you serving them? How are you serving them? What's the outcome you want from your book? How do you want to, what does success look like for you? How do you want to make a difference? Do you want to sell, like one of the things Martha sold that I bought was a writing workshop. Do you want to do workshops? Martha also has done paid speaking engagements that I have attended and I haven't paid for, but somebody paid her $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 to be a speaker at that event. Do you want to be a speaker? So we really do a lot of work on figuring out what is your outcome. We're not just going to, you know, if you build it, they'll come. We're not just going to throw our book out there and hope the phone rings. We are actually going to go into this knowing what we want to get out of it. And I think it's Stephen Covey that says, start with the end in mind.
Yep. And I call it platform building. So I always talk about creating your personal platform. So that in that book, it's one piece. And people, like you say, you know, they want to birth this book and that's what they've been thinking about. But it's only a little piece of the big picture.
Yeah. And here's the other thing I say to people. Maybe you do just want to write it. You want to write it for yourself and you want to publish it. But just be honest with yourself. Let's not pretend it's going to do something it's not going to do.
Right.
Like, and when you can reach that level of honesty and be like, I don't care if anyone reads it. Cool. Then you can decide realistically, is this how you want to spend your time? If you knew the only one that was going to read it was your husband, would you still write it? Because if not, there's other work to be done here.
Absolutely. And I love how you walk them through the process. It's so key. Think with the end in mind. That is absolutely key.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And we do, and then just structurally, I do it in a group format, which sort of developed by accident, but we develop these amazing communities of authors that go on to work together, to promote each other, to run workshops together. They support each other. You know, somebody just found a person who does book trailers. And so she shared that with everyone else. And now all 10 people in the group are getting their book trailers done. Like, there's a lot of writing that is solitary, but we really try and minimize that. What I compare it to is, if you're going to run a marathon, you can go find online a book that'll tell you how to set up a training schedule, and you can do it yourself. Or you can find a running group, and you can go running with that group, and you're probably going to show up for more of the appointments that you make with yourself.
Right.
And so one of the things that also makes my authors finish is they're responsible to a community, not just themselves.
Yeah, when someone's looking over your shoulder and looking at your timeline, it makes you move faster.
Yeah, and everybody has to finish their book at the same time because we all co-promote each other's books.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is. It's really, it's amazing because it's the same thing with a marathon. Like, you could go run a marathon. Like, whenever you're ready, go run a marathon. But if you sign up and pay the $100 or $150 registration fee to go do a marathon on, I don't know, May 18th in Disney World, and you buy your plane ticket, you are so much more likely to show up on May 18th and to prepare yourself for that. So the day they sign up, they know the date their book will be published.
Great accountability. So what do you think is the biggest challenge with marketing for these authors?
The hardest thing for most people is identifying a problem instead of talking about what they've learned. So they've had an amazing discovery. They've learned, holy crap, EFT is so powerful. Or they've learned self-love is the key to solving all my problems. And so they want to teach the technique from where they are. And I have a background as an actor and in theater, and I talk a lot about getting into character as your ideal reader. Most people are not searching self-love techniques. Like, how often have you Googled self-love techniques? Most people are looking for solutions to problems. Like, how do I get my husband to stop leaving his phone in the living room? How do I stop fighting with my mother? How do I lose weight? How do I find my soulmate? And by the way, the answer to all of those questions is self-love. But if you write your cute little self-love techniques, nobody's going to find your book. So that's the number one obstacle. And then once you have the problem, well, then you know where to go. Then you know where to find these people. Where are they looking for solutions to these problems now? And it's really about connecting with them where they already are, or connecting with people who have your audience who would most benefit from your book.
That's fantastic advice. And that's true with any business. It's not even just with a book, but again, you know, think of the end of mind and what problem are you solving for people? And that will put you in the right direction.
Yeah. And it's really hard for people because you're somewhere else. So you have to almost go backwards in time to really figure out, well, who were you before? Were you searching when you found out your husband had an affair, were you searching self-love? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing you're searching, like, you know, what to do when your husband's cheating.
Absolutely.
Or should I leave him? Right? Those are the questions you were thinking about. You weren't like, I really need to focus on my self-love. If I do a little self-care, maybe I'll get a manicure because my husband cheated on me. But really, getting a manicure is probably the best thing you could do. But if somebody told you that, you would just want to kick them. So we have to meet our clients where they are.
That's great. Love the advice. So as an entrepreneur and building your business, is there like a piece of software or something you do in your process to keep your business running that you couldn't live without?
There's a lot that I couldn't live without, and it's really sad because I've become dependent on a bunch of systems. But here are some things that I use. I coordinate with a lot of the editors, designers, project managers. There's a lot of people on my team, and I would die without Basecamp. And I would say another very similar product is Asana, A-S-A-N-A. I like Basecamp. I think Asana has a free version. I think I pay something a month, $50 a month or something for Basecamp. But it allows us to all communicate without emails getting lost in a shuffle. There's to-do lists and tasks and things like that. So I love Basecamp. I said that the way I sell is through scheduling appointments with people and actually talking to them to see if I can help them. And if they're a fit for my program, and I use a program called Acuity Scheduling. Again, I think there's Schedule Once, there's Satori, there's Genbook, there's tons of scheduling programs, but that's essential to my business model. And then I do have a shopping cart and I use it in a kind of interesting way. But I use one shopping cart. Infusionsoft, I guess, would be another option there. Switching over seems exhausting. So I'm sticking with one shopping cart for now. It does what I need it to do. For my mail program, I use MailChimp. I could use one shopping cart. I don't like the formatting functionality. Obviously, a lot of people use Aweber or GetResponse or Constant Contact, but I need some sort of email program. My website's built on WordPress, and I use some, I have a membership area for my clients, and that's on a program called Wishlist, which is a plugin to WordPress. So those are probably some of the key pieces of technology that I use every day.
Perfect. And I always like to bring that up because I think people forget the importance of the back end. They think, I'm going to go build and sell and create a new company. And you're like, well, how are you going to track all that? So that's fantastic. And yeah, I don't know what I would do without Basecamp. I'd lose my mind.
Oh, you're a Basecamp fan too.
Yep. Yep. So looking back on your journey of creating your company, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
That's a good question. I'm really proud of how I built my business because I messed up a lot. And I think it's amazing. Like, I think this is my number one skill in the world. I put out things with typos. I put out things at the wrong price. Like, I have made so many mistakes, and I freaking love them. I don't have a perfectionist bone in my body. I am all about getting it out there and learn and test. I am a student of, there's a book called Lean Startup, which has a concept of the minimally viable product. So I have never, ever, ever built a product before I sold it. So I always sell first and then develop the product. So the number one mistake I see people making is they spend all this energy out there trying to, you know, create these amazing, perfect products before they know if anyone will buy them. And I always sell my stuff first.
So you
asked me for something I wish I knew. I'm just really proud of I didn't know that. I just did it by accident, and it makes me super happy.
And that's another fantastic piece of advice because, yeah, so many people spend so much time and effort, and then they have no sales because that's not what people wanted. And it breaks my heart when I see that.
Yeah.
So how are you going to continue to grow your company? What are the next steps for you in building your platform?
Well, I had a pretty big breakthrough. It's a little bit embarrassing, but like I said, I share my mistakes out loud. So I talk a big game about wanting people to make a difference with their book. And then we do a huge launch party. And 100% of my books this year have been bestsellers because of our launch parties. And then I drop them like a hot potato. So I've been telling people, like, I want to help you make a difference with your book. But once their book is done, I do pretty much nothing to help them. They send me an email and they're like, I need a web designer. And I'll be like, yep, here are three people I like. But I really haven't provided any level of ongoing support for people. And as overwhelming as it is to write a book, promoting a book can be 10 times as overwhelming. And so my next stage for my business is creating a secret society that is for people who really want to make a difference with their book and who want my ongoing support to help get speaking engagements or to build products or to create a lead generation sales funnel. However they are going to get their message out there, I'm going to help them. And I am really, really excited about that and really scared. And I know how to get people to finish their books now. And I don't want to be somebody that just says, like, I'm going to make a difference and then isn't going to be there for them. So that's my next journey.
That'll be a wonderful journey. And it's a long one, but it'll be a great journey.
It's hard. So I was like, oh, I only want to do the easy stuff. Right. You know, I hear this from like a lot of my suppliers will be like, I really just like editing. Like all the stuff you do with marketing, like that's hard. I'll just I just want people to give me books and then I'll edit them. And I'm like, okay, like that is a way to serve. I'm glad they're on my team. But I'm like, do I want to serve at that level? Is this the end of how big I want to play? And I'm like, no, I want to put my time and my energy and my heart and my money where my mouth is. And I want to help people go even bigger themselves.
So it's going to be a fantastic service to help them all the way through the process. So you have given so much information. I absolutely love everything you've shared. If my listeners wanted to reach out to you and find out more about what you do, where would they find you?
So it's The Author Incubator, theauthorincubator.com. And then if they are thinking about writing a book, and I'm happy to talk to anybody about their journey, if they have a book, if they're thinking about it, cool. If you want to talk to me specifically about writing a book, if you go to finishyourfirstbook.com, that's where you can find about how I work with people. We do full-length books, prints. They are not self-published. We do have a publishing company. Like I said, we've published over 50 books. And so you can talk about that. And then we also have more of an intro program that's ebooks only. So if you're thinking about writing an ebook as well, we have a program for that. And you can read about that on finishyourfirstbook.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your information. And good luck on building the rest of that platform.
Thank you. It's been super fun to talk to you. And I really hope that people out there who want to make a difference step up to serve their clients.
It'll be fantastic. Thanks.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.